it sounds like as a lot of local golf operations are about ready to go quiet for the winter, McWethy Golf is opening up across the board, and it starts over at Mistwood with what I have termed for years phase three of your renovation of Mistwood, the clubhouse. And after a long time coming, it seems like it's here and it's ready to open.
Absolutely, and you're absolutely right about the three legs, and I call it the tripod. The golf course renovated, the performance center, and now the clubhouse is scheduled to open on November the 11th to the public, and we're anxious and excited to see how it's received. We know it'll be received very well. We've done some mock service for the past week, and the reviews have been off the chart good. The restaurant is called McWethy's Tavern. I felt it was appropriate to put my name on it. It's a Scottish name, and there's a little bit of Scottish ancestry involved there. It will be casual dining, but elegant in terms of service and burgers, steaks, chops, pasta, you name it, all served with very, very high quality.
Well, it seems like a rearing lion is the dominant figure in your logo for McWethy's Tavern, and the logo is an adaptation of the McWethy coat of arms that was first recorded in 1592 in Blair Goree, Scotland, and then again in 1632 in Devonshire, England. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right. That's what I've been told. There's quite a history there, and there's a little inside the menu. There's a little bit of a story, which Rory, you may have seen that. Yep, in the 1600s, the first McWethy came to the U.S., and his name was, I believe, Robert McWethy McRory. How's that for a tongue twister?
That's outstanding. I like that McRory name.
I love it.
When he moved from Outer Hebrides, Scotland to Washington County, New York, and it took several generations for the name to evolve to McWethy. You can tell who's been up in your sales office and rating the paperwork on the history of the McWethy family coat of arms.
his name would be Rory. I love it. I love it. Yeah, there is an interesting history, and as you probably know, my grandfather on the McWethy side was, I believe, one of the founders and a president and a club champion at Aurora Country Club. So there's a little bit of a history in the area. An insurance company called McWethy Brothers that was formed, I believe, in 1869. So there's a little bit of roots there. There is another little root that we didn't talk about and don't talk about, and it's a good root. There's a connection to a family called Adams through a marriage way back, and that Adams family has a John Adams and a John Quincy Adams in it. A little other twist there, but I don't know much about that, and it's pretty remote, so we don't really talk about that.
Well, Jim, I'm sure there's still a little tweaking left to do and a few things to get in and get set up in the clubhouse, but realistically, for the most part, the clubhouse seems to be done. And take us back to when you first shut down Mistwood Golf Course to start on phase one. Did you think you'd still be kind of chipping away at the end of this project all these months and years later?
Actually, yes, Rory. It's a long, long, funny story, and I think you know it, because the original plan was to build the clubhouse first. And we had a clubhouse designed and ready to bid. In fact, it was bid. And then Ray Hearn told us that we were careless in setting it up. Then we decided to change the third hole and move the green over on the other side of the water. We decided, let's just redo the whole hole. And while we're at it, why don't we just redo the whole course and change our sequence of events completely, just rotated the whole thing completely. Let's do the course first. And then the performance center started out as just sort of maybe like a pole, like a glorified pole barn or something to do in the winter, and people could hit balls. Look what happened. My gosh. And it set the bar so high that anything I did with the clubhouse had to match it or surpass it. So we were kind of, we did so well on the performance center that it cost me more money in the clubhouse, and I am not sorry at all that we did that. The clubhouse is unbelievably good in every respect, and if you want to have your ego pumped, just hang out there for a while and talk to some of the customers.
Jim, you know, phase one was the golf course, and, you know, we've talked about that before. And phase two, as you just mentioned, was the performance center. Phase three was the clubhouse, and it's kind of a unique design. It almost looks like it's a two-part building. Tell people a little bit about how this, how you designed the clubhouse, how the structure came to be.
Yep, the credit for that goes back to the creative genius in our architect, Dan Wolfile, and he calls it the village concept. And the final product is spectacular. You've got really three buildings, the performance center, and then this little building that appears to sit by itself that houses our offices and, most importantly, our sales and marketing area. The downstairs of that, of course, is the pro shop. And then there's the big building that is McWethy's Tavern and what we call the Great Hall, which is basically our banquet facility. They look like two separate buildings, and they are above ground, but they're connected by a common basement. That basement is occupied by, of course, the locker rooms and storage of all kinds. And card storage, of course.
I don't want to have you pick on any part of this, but did any part of this, whether it was the offices or the restaurant area, the banquet facilities, did any part of the clubhouse really even turn out better than you expected?
Yeah, just about all of it, Roy, to be honest. It sounds like I'm bragging, and I'm not. To be there, the first time when I walked in, when it was full of people, I just sort of stood back and said, oh my gosh, what have we done here? And I mean that in a really, really positive way. Now, it surpasses all my expectations. And my expectations were pretty darn high.
About McWethy's Tavern, I was tempted to call it McWethy's Pub because it does kind of have a little bit of a feel of a good Irish-Scottish pub to it. But the views that you get, and also whether you want to watch the game or whether you want to sit over in the corner and just converse with your group, it looks like you've got all of those angles covered.
Absolutely. And we did debate a lot about the name. It took us a while to settle on McWethy's. I was, frankly, the one that was most hesitant to do it because it sounds like I'm bragging, and that's not my nature. But finally decided that was the best of all the ideas. And then the next part was McWethy's what? Pub, tavern, bar, and grill. And it depends a lot on your age and where you grew up, because at first tavern, in my age bracket and where I grew up, a tavern was really kind of a joint. What it connoted to me growing up in Palos, the couple of places that I knew as taverns were not places where kids were welcome. It was a scruffy place. But you know, if you grew up in a little different neighborhood or a different town, different connotation. And I think tavern is a good name. And there's really sort of multiple parts to McWethy's Tavern. I mean, as you said, there's a couple of, like an area that we call the Snug, which you probably saw, Rory. But it can be closed off. It's kind of a private little L-shaped room that could be a small group of 10, 12, 15 people. And then there's a couple of banquettes across the room that have a bench seat in the back with beautiful red material. So there's some little private areas within the bar. You actually go into the dining room where the look and feel changes a little bit. The floor changes from the tile to the reclaimed wood. And all of a sudden, it's full of windows that look out all over and all across the golf course. It covers about a 270-degree view from there, and it's up high. The view from there is, it far surpasses everything that I imagined it would be.
And the dining room has a fireplace in it, too, which
I think
people are going to love.
It has a fireplace. It's actually a double-sided fireplace. There's a fireplace on the opposite side of that chimney that is outside on the patio. No, the plan is also on the fireplace above the firebox. There's a big kind of a bare wall section there. McWethy coat of arms is probably going to be placed there. We haven't decided exactly on that. We're going to have it somewhere in there, and that seems like a logical place. In the restaurant area, which I'll define as the part with the wood floor, probably about 80 people in round numbers, and in the pub portion, probably another 70 or 80. It's big. That's the one thing that really shocked me. I looked at the plans over and over again, but it's bigger than I thought it would be, which is a pleasant surprise. And the accommodation, the number of tables that fit, actually exceeds the expectations that we had before that were rather conservative.
Mm-hmm. Jim, part of your clubhouse is also a banquet facility area. And when I was there the other day, they were still putting the finishing touches on things, but it looked like you had put down some beautiful carpeting there, and it was just a matter of sort of filling it in with the tables. But tell people a little bit about that, and how many people can it hold?
Conservatively, the actual banquet room, which we're calling the Great Hall, about 250. But there's also a pre-function area, which, of course, is right when you come in. It's a long, sort of a oblong room, like a grand entrance, that is separated from the actual banquet room by a partition that can be open or closed, or open or closed partially. That could be used. Tables could be added there. That would add another at least 50. And there's also a room that is between McWethy's Tavern and the Great Hall, which we are tentatively calling the terrace room, that could hold another 40 to 50 people. If we had a really big event on, you know, on an occasional basis, we could probably accommodate 350 people without impacting McWethy's Tavern. It's not something I'd want to do twice a weekend, but well, maybe I would. I don't know. But and then the floor in certain areas, this terrace room and the grand entrance, and also the perimeter of the banquet area, it's real bluestone. So it has sort of an old world castle type look. It's very old, Scottish looking place. It's not quite like Drury Lane, let's put it that way. Not like your average banquet facility. It's unique, and it pretty much sells itself. People walk in. I think I heard from one quote was, well, when we walked in, we were about 99% sure. We walked out, we're about 110% sure. It's pretty spectacular.
Jim, you actually have a membership side to Mistwood, and I saw that there's an area that's been created for members to store their bags. You also have a very nice locker room that you put in, and members can get lockers. And tell us a little bit about that membership side to Mistwood, because, you know, you are a public facility, but yet there's memberships.
When I took over the course in 2003, I'm told we were down to one member. I cannot verify that. We have approximately 100 members right now, and that's counting one member would be, if you had a family membership, that we count that as one, not four people. It's a nice feature that we have. Our members all seem to know each other, like each other. There's a tremendous camaraderie and a lot of really good golfers. So it seems to work well. We're going to let it grow a little bit. We don't know where the sweet spot is. We don't want so many members that it's impossible for somebody else to get a tee time on a weekend morning. So we're kind of feeling our way through it. We are having a number of people that are leaving private clubs to come to Mistwood. So we're very complimented by the types of people that are joining Mistwood. They're true golfers, people that love golf. And in many cases, they are exiting private clubs to come to us.
The winter plan for Mistwood, obviously because of all the work going on, been pretty much shut down in the winter, but I'm sure you plan on having that clubhouse and performance center going 12 months a year now.
That's a requirement to go 12 months full bore. I mean, it's a huge investment, and it will make sense only if we are very busy 12 months out of the year, and we have a significant amount of business that does not play golf at all. So, yeah, we'll be open the whole time.
People going to be able to come on out there and maybe sit down and enjoy lunch, or your members, or whether it's golfers, can they sit there with their mobile devices or their laptops and get some work done and tap into the, is there a wireless that you have?
Yeah,
so,
of course.
So people want to make the beautiful Mistwood Golf Club their office that day, they can do so?
Absolutely. We welcome that. We welcome business meetings. And we have so many ways that we can partition things to give some privacy that it's almost unlimited what we can do, and we can be doing multiple things at once. The room that I mentioned a little bit earlier, what we're calling the terrace room, it's between the pub and the Great Hall. It has partitions at each end, so it can be its own room all by itself, or it can be a part of either room. It also has these doors that I believe are called Nana doors or Nana doors. So in the nice weather, these doors open completely onto a patio. So in effect, that room becomes sort of outdoors. In fact, the wall color right now is sort of a sky blue.
Jim, anything else about Mistwood that people need to know, whether it's for right now this winter or even next summer, that we haven't covered?
No, we're just the menu is very very broad. The atmosphere is casual. The food is outstanding, and it ranges from burgers to shepherd's pie to steaks, chops, pasta, salad. The first of the mock nights, I had to sample everything, and I had shrimp and crab cakes and salad, Scottish egg, and then I had shepherd's pie, and then I had a steak. Can you imagine how I felt after that? But boy, was it good. But there's some interesting foods that are very good. So if your tastes are mainstream, you'll be happy. But if you want to try something a little bit different, like a Scottish egg or shepherd's pie, for example, which I love, that's there as well. So it's American, but there's a little bit of other stuff to make it special. We are shooting for home runs with what we do, and we expect to draw people from pretty far away. It's food quality comparable to what you would get by going to downtown Chicago at a considerably better price, and in most aspects, I'd call it a much better environment. There's nothing that matches the view that you get out of the dining area in McWethy's Tavern.
I'm sure parking is a lot easier too. So,
oh my gosh, yes.
Jim, I guess one other thing that I should ask you is a lot of people, if they're out and about, especially at a place being a golf course, there you're somewhat of a sports facility. Are there some TVs? Is the big game on? If somebody wants to watch the Masters, there, the Blackhawks, the Bears, whatever it is, they can see it, right?
Yes, there's TVs in the pub area, and we have resisted putting TVs in the restaurant area. We're wired, and we could put one or two, but we're sort of thinking that might be the area if you don't want to be inundated with flashing TVs a la McHugh's. Maybe we'll try leaving the restaurant without TVs and see how that works. That way, people might like to be able to escape from the TVs a little bit too. So no TVs there yet. Remember that in that dining room, there's an awful lot of glass. There's not a tremendous number of walls to plaster TVs on. We're certainly not going to put them in front of a window.
To phase two of McWethy Golf, and that's McHugh's, and that is obviously, it has been the sort of the heart of your winter golf operation, and you've continued to improve it here and there, tinker with it a little bit. If somebody hasn't been to McHugh's since they went in there to hit their last bucket of balls before the snow melted about 7 months ago, what's changed?
Of course, the biggest change has happened between when it had the name Ditka Dome and when it became McHugh's. But just over the summer season, we have completely re-landscaped everything. That doesn't sound like much, but it is a huge, huge, huge change. All the bad landscaping was ripped out. We lowered the berm a little bit along Route 53 so you can actually see the place from the highway. We've replaced the sign with a beautiful digital sign. As I said, landscaping all across the Route 53 side, but also against the entire north boundary and wrapping around to the back a bit. We've added a patio off the back, an expansive patio that has a permanent roof and is buttoned up. As of right now, it is buttoned up for the winter. It has an in-the-floor heating system, and we expect that will expand the capacity of McHugh's by 40 or 50 people in the winter months when we're really, really busy. We have found that we actually run out of space when the golf dome is really, really rocking. We don't have room in the restaurant. Now we do. And it should be comfortable. There's doors. They're called these nano doors that open into a wide expanse of space. So we hope that we can control the temperature well enough that we can just keep those doors open when the place is crowded. We've also expanded the off-track betting facility by adding an addition to the west end of the building. To accommodate all these newcomers and additional people, what was just a very rudimentary parking lot on the east side of the building, that has all been fixed and repaved and restriped as of just a week or so ago. And we have about 50-some parking spaces back there, which is a net improvement probably of about 30 parking spaces. So the frequent problem when we're really, really busy in the winter of running out of parking spaces, that should have been alleviated.
Well, Jim, a couple of things that have drawn people into McHugh's the last few years. I'm sure there's a lot of people who love the great barbecue. They also love the fact that last year during the championship Stanley Cup run, you were a Blackhawks bar. It was a great place to go see a game. Tell us a little bit about the bar end of McHugh's. And, of course, you mentioned you just expanded it. People can still go in there and bet their favorite horse all winter long, hopefully make a couple bucks, and then turn around and make a donation to McHugh's and go hit their golf balls as well.
And we have still a Blackhawks bar, of course, and we are continuing to tweak the restaurant side there, trying to make it appeal not just to sports fans, but families. We're making moves, maybe even in terms of table heights and so forth. This is not done yet. It's just in discussion, but we want to make the place welcoming to everybody, including children, and especially with people bringing dates, which is, we're seeing a lot more women customers than we did 3 years ago when we took over. And of course, the great food and beverage people that we have on board now are also overseeing the food and the beverage at McHugh's. So that has gone from very good to outstanding. The menu is constantly being tweaked and improved.
Jim, how is McHugh's better for the golfer this year?
It's just kind of strange, but we have brand new mats. I'm not sure if that's the answer you were looking for. Mm. We always keep the balls in very good shape. We've replaced the mats. It's being run this year, this much more actively, by the golf staff from Mistwood. So it's almost like a separate arm of Mistwood Golf that is running McHugh this season. So I think you're going to see not that we had anything other than outstanding service before, I think you're going to see the service even better. And we have new banners that are not going to fall down. We had a problem with them in the past. We had the banners hanging from the roof of the dome, and they were constantly, as they're getting peppered by golf balls, all of a sudden they'd be dangling or falling down. I'm told they are very well secured this year. A few logos that look sort of like the Mistwood logo. We're kind of pushing Mistwood at the same time.
Golfers look forward to in the winter, and it's really a good time to learn about new equipment, try it out. I'm sure your staff is working with the major manufacturers to get some demo days because, you know, as the companies will tell you, there's probably no better time to make an equipment change than in the off season, so you can get used to new clubs before the snow melts and you're back out playing at Mistwood.
And that would be absolutely correct. And one of those customers would be named Jim McQuethy. Needs to do a little bit of work now that maybe there's a little bit of time. Our teaching staff is become rather famous in terms of winning tournaments. Arguably the best bunch of teachers and players of any club in the Chicago area. We're sort of dominating. At least this year, we've done all right for ourselves. And the one thing that I do have to just mention, I think you know it as well as I, but I haven't said it yet, and that's that the staff that we've assembled at both McHugh's and of course at Mistwood. Is fantastic. The atmosphere that we've tried to achieve is one that's very, very welcoming and very, very cordial. And we have almost like a camaraderie between amongst our staff and also incorporating all of our customers, members and non-members. So that's one thing that we hear a lot from people. And that's why I go to as many events as I can, just to talk and get feedback. Yes, we have a great golf course. We have a great performance center, a great new clubhouse, but it's the people and the attitudes of the people that may be the biggest asset that we have, that maybe even matches or surpasses the physical facility. I'm a pretty happy guy right now. You